Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad you're with us today. We say that every week. We really do mean it. We are so glad for our listening audience. We're so glad for this radio station. We praise God for the privilege of sharing the greatest story ever told from the greatest book ever written about the greatest person who ever lived, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're so glad today to talk to you about Jesus. And that's what the whole Bible is about. Praise God. Hallelujah. From cover to cover, this is a Jesus book. It's called that in some circles in South Africa because missionaries have taught them accurately from the whole Bible about the great salvation plan. And they call it the Jesus book in some circles down there. And they say, open it just about anywhere and you will find Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, Brother Venable, is he back there in the Old Testament? The Bible said they all drank of that spiritual rock. Amen. That the water came out of as Moses led the children of Israel, and that rock was Christ. They ate of that bread that came down, and Jesus said, I am the true bread. That was just a type and foreshadow of me. Praise God. You can go on and on and on and on. It all began in the garden when man sinned and an animal was slain to cover the nakedness and the shame of Adam. The first blood was shed in after creation to cover a man who was ashamed because of his sin. And that blood was a type of Jesus Christ dying at the cross that we might be covered with a robe of righteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, friend, I'm excited today about being saved. I've been saved all of these years and I haven't got over it. Don't want to get over it. Don't want my joy to become stagnant and stale. Hallelujah. I want to keep the freshness of what God has done for me in focus throughout my pilgrimage here, that I may share it effectively with other people, that they might know the joy of sins forgiven. If you're not a Christian today, would you please stay tuned and see why we act crazy sometimes to the world about us? Maybe you'll understand the source of our joy and our hope a little better. Maybe you'll understand the reason for all of these songs of hope and joy that you've just heard. As the gospel has come in song now, we want to share it in the Word of God. We have a great subject today. Before we get into it, we would like to invite you to come to our website. If you would just type in THCOG, it will take you to the Holy Church of God. THCOG are the initials. Type it in, Google it, and it will take you to the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida. I believe there's another one on the up on the web in Texas. We're the one in Tampa with the pastor, Robert Venable. I've been pastor here going on 38 years now. And there are sermons that span many of those years, and there are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. And we would invite you to come. All kinds of subjects that I believe would be interesting and relevant to you, particularly to people that understand that we are living in the last of the last days, and we need to be equipped with everything that we need to live effectively and share Jesus effectively. And all of this will help you. All of those tools there through the Word of God will be helpful to you. If you don't know Jesus, it won't hurt you. I guarantee you it'll help you if you receive it to come to know Him and pray prayerfully that you will come to receive Him as your Savior as well. Be our guest today as we go to the Word of God and we talk about the subject, who has a God like our God? We're taking our study from the book of Micah in the Old Testament, Micah 7 and verse 18. It begins with this, who is a God like unto thee? Now, we could stop right there and start talking about His might, His omnipotent might. What kind of God is this that says, let there be a firmament and there's a firmament, and let there be light. Let there be a ball of fire called the sun, one of the smallest stars in the universe, designed specifically to warm but not burn this planet. Hallelujah. What kind of God is this that says, let there be, and there was? You say, preacher, you believe the Genesis account? If I'm going to believe in God at all, I can easily believe the Genesis account. If there's something God can't do, He's not God. Hallelujah. So anything that He says He can do, I believe He did. So therefore, we could declare who has a God like unto our God simply in His creative ability, His omnipotent might. Jeremiah said of Him, Thou hast created heaven and earth by Thine outstretched hand. That's all the effort it took. And there's nothing too hard for Thee. Praise God. Amen. The psalmist said that the whole world should stand in awe of Him just because of this alone. Because He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Oh, who has a God like our God? We could talk about His mighty works. We could talk about the miracles of the parting of the Red Sea. We could talk about Him sending angels from heaven to defend His people. We could talk about turning water to wine, lepers being healed, blind eyes being opened. This God who knows no barriers to His power and might. Ah, we could talk about the God who says, peace be still to the raging sea, and immediately there is a great calm. But let me tell you what Michael and the Bible, the Old Covenant and the New, is putting the focus on about God. To distinguish Him, amen, as the true and living God, and not only the great God, but the good God that He is. Listen to it. It's His capacity to forgive. And forgiveness is the basis for all the blessings, for the promise of heaven, our eternal life, from escaping banishment and punishment. It's all based on God's great heart of love that produces the mercy and grace that causes Him not only to want to forgive, but to make a way so that everyone could be forgiven, so that no one has to be lost. Oh, He's made it very, very clear. Amen. This is what He delights in. Make no mistake about it. He's a holy God. And if we don't repent of our sins so that He can grant His forgiveness, if we don't receive Christ so that the benefit and blessing of His sacrifice can be applied to our life, there's no way we can be saved and escape the judgment to come. But make no mistake about it. God delights in mercy. That is what distinguishes Him. That it makes Him greater than all of His creative power. So listen to Micah. He brings this out so beautifully. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. I like the NIV. It says, who is a God like unto you who pardons sin, who forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You delight to show mercy. Many scholars call this in the New Covenant the great exchange, what God has done in Christ for us when Jesus went to the cross. The result of that great expression of God's delight to show mercy, and the extent that He went to grant forgiveness to you and to me. They call it the great exchange. Let me read about this from Romans 3, verse 23. 24 rather, through 26. Listen to this. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Justification is a forensic term. It is at home in a courtroom. It's actually a legal transaction in which the guilt of our sins is put to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness is put to our account. I'm going to say that again. The guilt of our sin is put to the account of Jesus Christ, and his righteousness is put to our account. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you, nobody on this planet deserves this. And yet God, in his great grace and capacity and willingness to show mercy, the Bible said he delights to forgive. Amen. In the old covenant, it said, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. In other words, God is obligated by his holiness to judge sin, and the wages of sin is death. And not just death is ceasing to exist, but the second death that is spoke of in the book of Revelation, it's very clear that there's going to be a resurrection of all the people who have died, the unrighteous dead, to stand before the great white throne and face the judgment and be consigned to a place where they are punished eternally. Many people don't believe in that today, but the Bible is specific and clear and calls this the second death. If death ends it all and is the final punishment for sin, why is there a resurrection from the dead? For the Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, the earth gave up its dead and the sea gave up its dead, and all that have died without Christ and all whose names are not found written in the Lamb's book of life were raised from the dead to be judged and consigned to the place of punishment, to hell. Listen, friend, I want you to know that God does not delight in this. He takes no pleasure in this, but there's something that he does delight in, and that is forgiving our sin, granting unto us salvation, giving grace to us, unmerited favor. The righteousness of Christ can only be received by faith. Hallelujah. There's no possibility that we could earn it or merit it in any way. The Scriptures declare clearly, by grace you are saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll tell you, I expect to go to heaven because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary, because I've repented of my sin and received forgiveness by receiving what Jesus did at the cross, literally having that blood sacrifice applied to me. And I want you to know, when he died on the cross, my sin was being judged in him. And friend, I want you to know today, whether you're a Christian or not, your sin was being judged in him. So if you come to him and you receive him, you can be forgiven. This is the great exchange. And not just forgiven, but his innocence, his righteousness, granted to you, unmerited, unearned favor. Praise God. I'll tell you, people wonder why Christians, well, not all of them, I've seen Christians that look like they've been baptized in pickle juice, but I'm not one of them. And not all of us act that way. And the ones that do don't know who they are in Jesus, and they don't know who Jesus is in them, and they have no real concept of what it means to be saved. Amen. But some have grabbed a hold of that and written songs like Amazing Love. How can this be that this my King would die for me? Praise God. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. There's power. Power in the blood, one writer writes. He says that we can be free from our burden of sin because there's power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow, there's power in the blood of Jesus. What we could never do in ourselves, God can and will do through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. As a result, we have a standing or a legal status before God Himself on the basis of what Jesus alone has done at the cross. And God has declared us righteous. Praise the Lord. Friend, we've exchanged our guilt for His innocence. You know what the Scripture said in Isaiah 53? It said, all we like sheep, verse 6, have gone astray. But God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. See, God can't just forgive our sin by just wiping it away, treating us as if we had never sinned, because the fact is, we have sinned, all of us. All of us. The Scripture said in the New Covenant, there's none righteous. And then everybody thinks it's either them or somebody they know. So it says there's none righteous. No, not one. God wants to make it crystal clear that we can never earn what He has granted to us. But He's given it as a grace gift to us because He delights in mercy. Who has a God like our God? What God is there like this, with this kind of capacity and willingness and desire to forgive, that would go to this extent that we might be forgiven, that we might be sealed with the Holy Spirit, that we might be redeemed, bought back, hallelujah, and made His own. Glory to God, sealed for heaven, so that we don't have to fear the wrath to come. We don't have to fear the judgment to come. We don't have to fear banishment and punishment. We look forward to seeing Him. We can't wait for Jesus to come. The watchword of the church should be Maranatha, which means as the early, same thing now as it did in the early church, even so come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I can't explain the joy and peace of knowing that if I draw my last breath this very day, that as Paul put it, to be absent from the body is not to be weighed in the balance, is to see what balances out and where you're going to spend eternity. No. He said, if you know Jesus as your Savior, salvation is much more sure than that. So he said to be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, what the blood of Jesus has accomplished is called the great exchange. All we like sheep have gone astray. But God has judged our sin in His Son. God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. So we read in Romans 3:25 that we exchange our guilt for His innocence. This sacrificial death of Jesus is referred to here as atonement for sin. It said God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Atonement basically means a bringing together of those who were estranged, making peace between two separated parties, making them at one again. The fact is, due to our sin, we are estranged from God because God is holy, perfect, and we are not. I don't think there's anybody listening to this broadcast will not agree that we are not. And the Bible teaches that God, because of His holiness, hates sin, and rightfully so. So the fact that we are sinners who willfully sin in thought, word, and deed, and even in our inaction, it's not just sins of commission, it's sins of omission. This puts us in opposition to God's holy nature. Our sin separates us from Him. And more than that, you see, our sin, in essence, makes God our enemy. God spoke to His covenant people. Sin had separated them from Him in the old covenant. And He said, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear your prayers. My hand is not short that it cannot save or answer those prayers and deliver you. But your sin has separated between you and your God. But Jesus became the great mediator as he hung upon the cross between God and man. A holy God cannot have fellowship with sinful man, nor sinful man fellowship a holy God. We're at enmity by our very natures. But Jesus Christ has bridged the great chasm, the great gap that sin created. As he hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, he takes the hand of God and takes our hand and becomes the mediator. And God judges our sin in his Son so that he can pronounce us righteous and receive us and accept us. I love the way R.C. Sproul writes, and I quote, he said, "The natural enemy of the sinner is one who is holy, and not only holy, but powerful, and not only powerful, but just, and not only just, but omniscient, and not only omniscient, but immutably so." Omniscient simply means that God knows everything. Praise God. Amen. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And he's omniscient. He knows everything. The Bible puts it this way. There's nothing hid from the eyes of him whom we have to do. And the incredible greatness of his grace and truth about his grace is that God, who knows every sin in attitude, in activity, in omission, in commission, every evil thought, he knows us all together. And yet, he wants to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from iniquity, bring us into his royal family, judge our sin in his Son at the cross so that he could grant unto us, listen, his righteousness. Praise God. You know, the devil can pick apart our righteousness. Why? Righteousness, why? Because the Bible said there's none righteous. Not to God's standard. Oh, yeah, we can meet the status quo down here pretty easily, but God holds a higher standard than the best of us here. Amen. And the Bible said of all of Adam's fallen race, of the best of us, there's none righteous. No, not one. It went so far as to call our feeble attempt at righteousness at our best a filthy rag in comparison of God's holy requirement. All of our righteousness, the Scripture said, is as a filthy rag in comparison. So how in the world are we ever going to be saved? It's because God has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. He judges our sin so that he can grant unto us his forgiveness and Christ's innocence. This is the story of the cross. This is the story of the gospel. This is the blessed assurance of the believer. We've exchanged our guilt, our sin debt, for his innocence. It was my sin, friend. It was your sin that caused Jesus to be judged on that cross. He that knew no sin literally became treated as a sinner, became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, the Scriptures declare. I don't deserve that. Every day of my life, and I'm convinced every day throughout all eternity, I'm going to have a sense that I don't deserve this, and yet it is mine forever because of what Jesus did at the cross. There won't be one day when we will ever get tired of praising him for what he's done for us at Calvary. Hallelujah. It'll never wear thin. It will never wear off. Praise God. This is shouting ground. Listen, I don't know what turns over your honey bucket. I don't know what gets you going. I don't know what turns you on, but I'm going to tell you something. This turns over my honey bucket. This turns me on. This makes me want to shout it from the housetops. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you're going to get emotional. You're going to get into emotionalism. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. The only people I know know that don't have emotions are down at the morgue somewhere. Praise God. Amen. I do have emotions, and I do not apologize for being so emotionally stirred because I'm so spiritually happy. Hallelujah for what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I do serve the Lord with gladness of heart for all the things that He has done for me. Serving Jesus is not a job. Oh, I didn't say it was easy now. I just said it's not a job. I didn't say it didn't come with persecution. I'm saying it's not a job. It is a joy to serve my great Redeemer. Hallelujah. Amen. What shall we render to God? David said back in the old covenant, because God had forgiven him. God had forgiven him. He said, what shall we render unto God for all of His benefits unto us? And he answers that question in the great Psalm 103. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name and forget not His benefits. Who forgiveth, top shelf, top of the list, number one, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And then heals all thy diseases and crowns thy life with loving kindness and delivers you from destruction and lifts you up with strength like the eagle. Praise God. He's done all of these things. What shall we render to Him? Hallelujah. If you're a Christian today, you need to go back to the cross again. Look up to the one, the sinless one, that is suffering, bleeding, and dying. And say, that's my sin being judged in Him. And it's His innocence that was granted to me. Stand in awe of just what it means to be saved. And rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, there's nothing that can happen to me to in this fallen world that is so bad and so sad that it can transcend what has happened to me at the cross when I received Jesus as my Savior. There's nothing anybody can do to me so mean and hurt me so bad that can transcend what He has done for me at the cross. That's why on Sunday morning when I come to church, I come to offer Him the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of my lips, and then I walk out to praise Him with my life and the way that I live it for Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you've got the wrong impression of Christianity by looking at some Christians who look like they've been baptized in pickle juice, amen, don't you for one minute think that that is a representation of what this life is all about. Don't think it's just keeping a bunch of rules, amen, alone. Amen. This is following Jesus. This is powerful. This is wonderful. Who has a God like our God, with the capacity to forgive like He has for you and for me today? There's none like Him, because He's a gracious and good, wonderful, forgiving God. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's not His will, the Scripture said, that any perish, but that all have eternal life. So don't turn away the one that delights in mercy, the one that's willing to pardon your sin, cleanse you from iniquity. Run to Him today. Quit running from Him. Run to Him. You say, Pastor, I'm too deep in sin. No, you're not. No, you're not. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. Jesus gave His life for you. Ask Him right now, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I repent. I'm so sorry. I've sinned against You. Cleanse me. Fill me. Make me Yours today. And let me serve You for the rest of my life. And if you're a Christian today, come back to Calvary. Come back to Calvary. Look up to Him. Hang in there dying for you. And rejoice again. And revive again. And be filled with passion again to love Him and serve Him and to tell others about Him. Let's have a revival at the foot of Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. We love you today. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.